ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's the best thing about Thanksgiving?
Oh, I think first and foremost, it's always got to be, it doesn't have to necessarily be family, but it's got to be kind of getting together with those that you care about and just hanging out and not having to worry about stresses and everything else and just being able to relax and chat it up and have some good food.
Yeah, it's always about family for me. Family first and foremost. Family is the most important thing about Thanksgiving. Absolutely it is. Spending time with loved ones, spending time with people that you love, but a very, 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 very close second is all the food. I cannot wait to feast tomorrow. I might not even eat dinner tonight, so I can make sure that I can have as much food as I possibly can tomorrow.
Well, it's perfect because Thanksgiving is all about the three Fs, right? It's family, food, and football. And my answer is the football.
Yeah, football is very fun.
I haven't
well,
been
your,
home.
Your team is always playing on
yeah,
Thanksgiving,
it helps.
Too.
It helps. I haven't been home for Thanksgiving in, I think, this will be the seventh year in a row now, so the family part, you know, it doesn't stand as much for me recently, but I always look forward to football on Thanksgiving.
You know, it's different, too, because with our business, and especially, Jeremy, with your travel schedule, but forever and a day, working in the NBA, the holidays were work days because you had games, and it was an easy way to get families to the games if you were the Rockets, or we played on Christmas. So it was always, like Brennan was saying, I didn't see my family as much. I actually got used to not seeing my family as opposed to looking forward to and seeing everybody every year. And you realize how much you appreciate it when you can't have it. So when you get back to it, it actually means something. That's why I said a lot of times it's not just your blood relatives, but it's the friends that, because for the longest time when I was single and working for the Rockets, I knew a lot of different people, a lot of friends of mine that didn't have anywhere to go. And I was like, just everybody come over to my house and we'll watch football and bring something and we'll make it a Thanksgiving feast on our own. And just the spending time with people is the most important thing.
So what is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? 713-780-ESPN. Brent, if you're not going home, you can travel to Norman, Oklahoma with me whenever we end the show. And you can hang out with my family if you want to get a little feast. And, you know, have a little road trip.
I do appreciate the offer. I will be spending my time with my family of this radio station right here in the studio.
Very good. Very good. Man of the people. That's football, right? You said football is one of your favorite things about Thanksgiving. You'll be watching football tomorrow.
Yeah,
you'll be listening
absolutely.
To football tomorrow.
You want us to start a Brendan-a-thon so that people could bring their favorite side dishes and things so that you have plenty of food?
You got to remember, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the Thanksgiving food anyways.
Yeah, you're just...
See, that's... I love Thanksgiving dinner, like for the 3, 4, 5 days around Thanksgiving. I don't eat, I eat deli meat turkey, but in terms of like turkey prepared that way, give me some turkey, give me some mashed potatoes, some brown gravy, although I'm not going to kick white gravy, you know, out of the conversation either. I like the cranberry sauce, I know that you're not. And then the stuffing, all of that like combined for one bite is unbelievable. It's unbelievable for Thanksgiving and like the 3 days after it.
Now, because there's lots of questions that come with this, but I'm with you though. I mean, like Lisa asked me, obviously, for those that you don't know, and most do, that she's vegan and she's like, you want to go vegan with me this year? I go, no, absolutely not. I mean, the big thing for me is that once a year I look forward to the turkey and part that turkey being part of the meal, and it's awesome. And I'm the same as you, mashed potatoes and stuffing and gravy, and I like macaroni and cheese, so I want some mac and cheese in there. And that's about it for me with the stuffing. You know, I'm good. I don't need much else after that. But then you're right. It's like how much there's so many questions. Like how many times are you going to go? Do you have just the regular sit down, the big meal? But will you go twice to the big meal food in the same day? And then with the leftovers, are you just warm it up or are you sandwiches or both?
I've never really dabbled in the sandwich game.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. That's. I think I need a try.
Yes.
I think I need a try. But I'm more of a, like, I'll start eating around. What time do y'all start eating? We eat like 1 or 2.
Yeah, we do work kind of early, between 2 and 3.
1 or 2, 2 or 3, like early afternoon. And then I probably don't stop eating for the rest of the night until I fall asleep that night. Now, I'll have like my one meal, right? Mm-hmm. Like I load up the plate, have that. And then it's like kind of gradually, like every 45 minutes to an hour, having very, very small plates, like tapas Thanksgiving, where I have a couple pieces of turkey with mashed potatoes and gravy, and then, of course, the desserts. So, like, I pretty much start eating early afternoon and will not stop eating until I literally cannot eat anymore.
Now, do y'all leave everything out and you just keep going to it?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically what we do, too, is, like, it's everything's out there, and so whenever you want, you know, help yourself and go get some more. And I think that's the best way to do it because, I mean, to me, it's like in between football games. It's not like normally when I'm watching games, something like that, I might grab some popcorn or something like that. But I'm not snacking while watching the games. I'm kind of timing it out between games or at halftime to where I go back in and reload. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, definitely a day where it's feast all day and get all the way through it. But the sandwich thing, that is a hidden gem.
Do you go regular bread or do you go like the rolls that you have with the Thanksgiving meal?
Rolls with the meal, bread. I toasted bread for the sandwiches.
I think I would like to go with the sandwich on the rolls.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Like, that sounds really good. Like I love rolls too. Like, right? Like I just mentioned my plate, the perfect plate. Turkey, mashed potatoes, the brown gravy, the stuffing, a little bit of cranberry. Like imagine getting all of that stuff. And then just stuffing it into like a Hawaiian roll.
It would work.
That sounds fantastic.
That would work. I mean, I would only think that you're getting screwed by the amount that you could fit in there as opposed to the big size of a sandwich.
You can have more than one roll.
Yeah,
you can just mass, you know,
you've created
accumulate
your own
volume.
Your Thanksgiving kolache of goodness is just like opening up and stuffing in a Hawaiian roll with all the Thanksgiving food you can.
Dick Willie says rolls, basically like making sliders. I think that's the way to go. Rolls are fantastic. I love rolls. Rolls are great. What do you love about Thanksgiving? Flimsy says sandwiches for leftovers. Yes, I got to try that. I need to expand that game. I've never really been to the
toasted
sandwich
bread, game. Leftover turkey, lettuce and tomato and all that. Oh, yeah.
Chewy says, I want to have stuffing for the turkey. Give me some mac and cheese, potato salad, and some cranberry on the side. I've never really heard potato salad for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, me either.
That's a first for me.
And growing up in the Midwest, and my mom made potato salad all the time, and it was fantastic. But we never had potato salad. And we had potato salad for a lot of holidays, too, just not Thanksgiving.
I actually have a question for you guys, because there was a debate going on in my group chat that I wasn't sure of the answer to. All of my friends who live in Michigan, by the way, were debating whether or not people in the South have mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness. What? That's a staple.
I thought so, too. But there was, like, half of my group chat was arguing that mashed potatoes are not a popular Thanksgiving food in the South.
I would say it's the second most popular Thanksgiving
food. I don't know if they were counting Texas as the South, but I would think they are.
No, it's the second most popular Thanksgiving food, and it's the top side. There's not a higher side than mashed potatoes.
I would absolutely agree with that. Mashed
potatoes, that's the way I look at it.
Mashed potatoes with the gravy is the number one side.
Who are your friends?
So they're all people in Michigan.
What do they eat? What's their top side?
The mashed potatoes. They were saying it's not as popular in the South. I don't know where they were getting this information, being as they all live in Michigan.
Can you ask them this?
Where they got it?
Yeah, like why they think this. Like, I want to know why they think of a sudden you go to the South and they don't have mashed potatoes. Like mashed potatoes were invented in the South.
I could check with them.
That's bizarre to me. E says that they have some of their best wine on Thanksgiving. I've never really been much of I have a little bit of whiskey on Thanksgiving, maybe at night. But I don't want it to like get in the way of all the eating, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'll finish the night maybe with a crown and diet.
Yeah.
For the late game?
It's like the nightcap, you know?
And it also kind of settles the stomach to basically let the stomach know and the boiler room know, okay, I'm not going to force feed you anymore. It's not, you can relax too. We're just going to do this and slowly fade off into la-la land.
E, which this isn't a surprise because we understand his behavior on our Twitch. He says food, family, football, fighting. Like, are you fighting on Thanksgiving? Like, you get together with your relatives and you're having fights on Thanksgiving?
Didn't plan on digging into
all the politics.
The blank family history.
All the politics.
But I will tell you that that was a staple in my household. That when growing up, that not now. But growing up in my household, it was inevitable that everybody was going to be there. There's going to be a large gathering, and it would start out super fantastically friendly and happy. And as the alcohol would start flowing and conversations would get deeper into family histories or things that had happened over the course of the year, it would get a little bit, it would ratchet it up a little bit to where almost guaranteed every holiday someone ended up fighting with somebody.
I would bet that's not that uncommon.
It seems like it would be more frequent even nowadays too, because there's so much more to fight about. Like you said, politics in itself is one thing, but you know, with everybody on social media looking to fight every chance they get anyway. But I would think that it's not as unusual as it maybe was back then. Because back then, we kind of tried to dust it under the rug. But yeah, we were pretty, our family knew someone's feelings were going to get hurt by the end of the night.
Whenever I was a kid, we would always play like basketball and stuff.
Oh,
like,
that too, yeah.
We'd always do that, like games, things like that. Like the Branham competitive spirit would come through.
Oh man, and because a lot of my friends growing up, we were single parent families, or they had a lot of stuff going on to where they didn't have a whole lot going on after like 4 o'clock. Then everybody came over to our house, and the door was always open. You're always welcome to the food, and so a lot of my friends ended up at, you know, early evening into the evening at our place. Then it was football or basketball or, like you said, board games, video games, whatever. But everybody was there. That was the fun part. The food and the early day, that's where the fighting could happen. Get the family out of there and just get the friends in and hang out at night. That was always great.
What is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, have the Texans made a decision on Davis Mills? According to some, that they have. Will he start? Will he not start against Miami on Sunday? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lovie Smith had a press conference about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. Got asked every Davis Mills question there is, like five different ways.
By Brian T. Smith?
I didn't hear Brian T. Smith today.
Brian's probably gotten his...
I didn't hear him today.
He probably got his fill.
Brian T. Smith was there Monday, a day after the argument,
yeah,
or the whatever you want to call it, and Lovie was actually really nice to him.
Well, that's good.
I think he kind of realized what happened.
Yeah, because you didn't have to look far to realize it had gone viral and it had blown up.
Yes. So Lovie says that he's not ready to announce anything. He actually said, look, I'm not going to tell you guys anything. He's like, there's a competitive advantage to be gained if I tell you who my starting quarterback's going to be. He basically no commented every single question about Davis Mills. Got frustrated again hearing all of the questions about Davis Mills. And then Mike Garofalo, like 10 minutes ago, tweeted out that Kyle Allen will start on Sunday for the Houston Texans.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting. Like, what's going on where Lovie Smith isn't saying who's starting in his press conference, but then somebody leaks it to Garofalo 15 minutes after Lovie Smith's press conference? That's weird.
It is very weird because it's not, and they're not the only one. The Jets, whether it be players, personnel, or someone inside the meeting room, just did the same thing with Zach Wilson. Like, they met, no one talked to the media. They didn't have any press conferences or anything yet, and the word had leaked out. So that is strange, but I think I know which way you're thinking, but I personally think it's a horrible move. I don't like the move. I don't know that there's anything to gain by the move. I don't know if this was a pressure because of all of the scrutiny between the fans and the Brian T. Smith interaction, but I don't think it's the right move.
Yeah, I don't think it's the right move either. I want to dive into it a little bit greater detail a little bit later. I will say this. I don't care a ton. I don't like the move. If I'm the one making the decision, I don't care a ton. Like, it's not enough for me to like, oh, the Texans shouldn't be doing this. Like, I disagree with it, but
yeah.
Who cares?
I think the thing is I don't think that no matter what you do with the roster that you have, quarterback change wise, it's not going to change the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
So that's fine and dandy. I don't think it's the right move either. I don't think it's very smart to do that, but I don't think that. You know, this is an intelligent football team right now anyway, so you just do whatever you're going to do and take your L's. And, yeah, don't screw it up and win a couple of games, Kyle Allen.
Right. Go Cougs. Love you. But just look good in defeat.
Yeah. Keep it close. Keep it interesting. And then keep it where you're a couple points when the scoreboard hits zeros. But yeah, you're a couple points down.
713-780-ESPN. We're asking you, what is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? Because we're like 25, 26 hours away from feasting. Most of us are. 713-780-ESPN. We're having the argument, too, about Brendan's friends that think the South doesn't like mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You said the mashed potatoes are the top side for Thanksgiving. 4631 says mac and cheese more popular than mashed potatoes. Ain't no way.
I think everybody loves mac and cheese.
Sure.
But I don't think that it supersedes mashed potatoes and gravy. Like, I mean, I think every no matter where you were born in the United States, as soon as you came out of the womb and started to understand what the holidays were, mashed potatoes and gravy are a staple right next to the bird.
Exactly.
I don't think that there's any argument in that.
No, they go together, actually, like in the same bite.
It does. It seems too obvious when it's gravy, right? Like your turkey with your gravy, your mashed potatoes with your gravy. How do you not have mashed potatoes?
But, okay, so, and Jeremy said this a couple times. This is a conversation that I've had in a previous life, but I'm curious what you guys do. Are you separation of bird and sides, and you eat them all separately, or are you hodgepodging it all? Because, like you said with your sandwich, and also you said, like, when you were talking about all the sides, are you just making yourself one big, like, mosh pit of flavor? Or are you going, I'm going to have a little turkey and gravy, then I'm going to get some mashed potatoes, then I'm going to dig into the mac and cheese?
Usually I have it, like, itemized. It's usually like there's a portion of my plate for the turkey, portion of my plate for the mashed potatoes. I like my mac and cheese, as everybody does. Mac and cheese, portion of the plate for that stuff in cranberry. But then you take the fork and you make
you
magic
drag it
happen.
All the way through?
Yeah, you make magic. Well, you kind of like, okay, I got a piece of the turkey. You kind of dip it into the mashed potatoes. That, of course, has the gravy on it.
Yep.
You get a little bite of the stuffing, a little bite of the cranberry, and there you go.
Yeah, I'm definitely – I do the same thing. I definitely get the combo going where it's the turkey with the mashed potatoes and gravy and a little stuffing. And even just when the mashed potatoes, I'll roll the stuffing into the mashed potatoes and gravy. I keep the mac and cheese separate. The mac and cheese is its own separate palette of flavor that I leave alone. But in terms of stuffing, mashed potatoes, and the turkey, I can combine that all.
Yeah, I think putting it all together is what makes the turkey, like, good enough.
That's because you don't eat turkey.
I do think when you put it all together, it's pretty good. It's just – that's what it takes.
Wow.
Got to do what it takes.
Are you a mac and cheese guy? Your food tastes are so awful. Are you a mac and cheese guy?
Yeah, I'm a mac and cheese guy. I mean, I will say, like, boxed Kraft mac and cheese is like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But, like, homemade mac and cheese is incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't care who makes it. I've never had a homemade mac and cheese that was bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. Where do you stand on the whole non-traditional Thanksgiving food? Because 0170, I go to my buddies for Thanksgiving. He does a ton of barbecue instead of a turkey. I like barbecue more than turkey, with the exception of one day a year.
Yeah,
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I definitely think for Thanksgiving it's turkey, and I don't. I never really. You can delve off of that in terms of you can go multiple desserts, maybe the sides. You can do some different things if you want, but. The staples have to be, again, the turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Stuffing, a lot of, so there's people that are out on stuffing. I prefer it, and I want it to be a part of the meal, but some people go out on stuffing. But, I mean, I've seen a lot of people expand their sides. Like, a lot of the sides that sometimes, like, I can't do this, the whole spinach.
Oh, I love spinach.
Spinach casseroles and all that.
I've never had a spinach casserole, but I like cream spinach, and I love green bean casserole.
And green bean casserole, I'm completely out.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. Mm-mm. You have a very boring palate, I think.
I don't think so at all.
Green bean casserole is great. You don't like green bean casserole either, Brendan?
It is. No. It is funny. Joel makes fun of me for my food taste. Because I actually think I would bet on most shows, Joel would be the one with the most unpopular food opinions.
Oh, for sure.
But I've
How is that? What do you mean, oh, for sure?
Oh, for sure. Like, you don't like green bean casserole. You put ketchup on baked potatoes. You like baked Lay's.
Joel.
Like, there's a lot.
But that's all good.
It's okay, because on this show, I make you look good.
That's true. That's true. Like, if it wasn't for Brendan, you would have the worst food takes. Like, whenever we had Dale had better food takes than you.
You're full of it. Candied yams. Jet says, I missed my grandma's candied yams. Candied yams is another thing. I'm out.
I don't mind candied yam either. I don't love sweet potato, but whenever you put cinnamon on it, a little brown sugar, maybe some pecans, oh, man, you can doctor it up to be pretty good. Kind of like what Brendan's saying to the turkey. You're kind of doctoring up the turkey to make it good. Katie says, my aunt no longer makes traditional Thanksgiving food. Instead, she makes Mexican food, 7-layer nachos, burritos, chicken tacos, enchiladas, tamales with a Coke and glass bottles. Not on Thanksgiving.
Sounds That's fantastic great. Friday.
They should do that on Christmas.
Or Friday.
Yeah.
And Saturday.
I like non-traditional Christmas meals, but not non-traditional Thanksgiving meals.
I think a lot of times, too, and a buddy of mine was cooking for, he's got 30 relatives coming over, and he said he was making turkey and ham. And I just questioned the ham, going, like, for Christmas, ham would be a thing. But for Thanksgiving, turkey's the only thing, in my opinion. But I know that some people do alternate, right? They have to have at least one turkey, but then they could also give you the barbecue or they could give you something else. And so he was doing two turkeys and a 17-pound ham. So I'm like, because in my family, the sliced ham was very popular.
Yeah. Sliced ham's a good secondary entree item. I would say that. Worm is saying, I'm 45 and I can't recall at any time we had mashed potatoes with Thanksgiving food. That's weird. Caleb said the same thing. I've lived in my entire life in a small town called Nederland. I know Nederland
well.
I've
heard of it. Yeah.
Arch rivals with Portnacious Groves down there in the Golden Triangle. I've never once had mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. I'd say the dressing and sweet potatoes are the most popular sides. Maybe the dressing, but there's no way that sweet potatoes is outranking normal mashed potatoes.
No, and the dressing or stuffing, and that's another debate in all itself. But, you know, traditionally, they are together because a lot of people put it together. They put the stuffing inside the bird when they cook the bird.
That's true.
So the stuffing is definitely a staple.
Yeah. FedEx Mike, essential for Thanksgiving is foil pans. Take foil pans to use as to-go containers. We go big meal twice on Thanksgiving, then individual small plates until at least Friday night. I go like at least through Sunday night. And the tin foil pans, great idea.
Oh, no question.
Great idea. You can just leave with like three more Thanksgiving dinners. Sean and Pearland, Thanksgiving favorite thing, hearing what my 4 and 2-year-old kids are thankful for. That's very sweet.
That's nice.
That's very sweet. Yeah. Do you make your kids say what they're thankful for?
Nope. Don't make them say it. Just make sure that they just understand that there's no iPads and laptops, and we're going to hang for a while. But other than that, no, everything, they don't have to say it.
Is that part of your guys' Thanksgiving? Do people do that?
No.
Yes, that's not something we do.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. I don't know why I thought of this, but actually, I do know why I thought of it. Because I heard some football coach talking about how they bring – their team, like whenever they have a lot of out-of-towners, like coaches' houses and like have Thanksgiving feast there, make sure the kids have a place to go. And I was wondering, for some reason it crossed my mind, like I was wondering if they make their position group say like what they're thankful for. Like that would be kind of weird, right? Like you have a bunch, like say you did it in the NFL. Like say Lovie brought some of his linebackers that had nowhere to go over for Thanksgiving dinner. And Lovie Smith is making Christian Kirksey say what he's thankful for. Wouldn't that be so weird?
That would be weird. That would be very
weird. But I bet you it happens.
It's a scene in a movie.
I bet you that happens.
Because it's funny that you brought that up, because I've been in situations, and I'm trying to remember when they were, but I've been in situations where I've been asked in a group setting, like, what are you thankful for?
I think this was a long time ago, but like you said, like with what we do, a lot of times we're on the road. I've had many Thanksgiving dinners on the road. There was a women's basketball coach back in the day that made us do that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember, even with the Rockets, and we played in Indiana a lot on Thanksgiving. And we would have a team Thanksgiving dinner. But even then, it was just like come and hang out and, you know, relax and chill out. But it was never anything formal, never speeches or anything like that I could ever remember anybody saying anything like that.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was interesting. It was interesting. BG says, whoever from Nederland hating on mashed potatoes isn't really from here. Mashed potatoes are a staple. I would agree. 713, enjoy your Thanksgiving, however you Thanksgiving. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah.
Someone said on the text line, too, they said maybe it's a black thing. And they said, by the way, I'm black. But they said, we don't do mashed potatoes, but occasionally we do scallop potatoes.
I like scallop potatoes.
Scallop potatoes. And my mom, coincidentally, used to make scallop potatoes and ham. And that was really, really, really good. But again, that wasn't part of Thanksgiving.
Maybe mashed potatoes are a race thing. I never thought that. 713-780-ESPN. You can keep letting us know throughout the show what your favorite thing is about Thanksgiving. 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. Let's dive in a little deeper on the Texans making the move at quarterback. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, with the big weekend coming up, we know football with multiple games starting tomorrow. You're going to be sitting in that big chair, and you're going to be thinking to yourself, man, with all this football to watch, I'd like to make these games even a little more interesting. I could put some money down on it, and maybe you know some things that not everybody does. And, again, you could possibly cash in. Well, there's a place to do it. It's mybookie.ag. I'm telling you, sports betting is intense enough. You don't need to sweat your payouts. Thankfully, mybookie, no strings, bonuses, lets you cash in, cash out quick, and take care of you every step of the way. The main thing you do whenever you're on mybookie.ag is remember that the promo code, whenever they ask for it or you see a place to put it in, is bet975. You bet as little as $50 or up to $2,000, you'll get a 10% cash bonus. Bet your deposit amount once, and you're ready to cash out. You won't find an easy bonus like this anywhere. No strings attached. It's all at MyBookie.ag. Hammer this bonus, MyBookie.ag, so you can focus on what's important Thanksgiving week. Family, food, and securing that money bag. Maybe it's football. Maybe it's soccer with the World Cup. Maybe it's college basketball like I watched last night. Any sport you're looking at, you could probably bet on it at MyBookie.ag. NFL, NBA, college football, prop bets, and, of course, the World Cup. Take advantage of the cash-in, cash-out bonus. Use that promo code BET975. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, MyBookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So very weird. Texans are benching Davis Mills for Kyle Allen. Go Cougs. Not that that's the weird part of it, because Davis Mills hasn't been very good. We know that. He hasn't been very good for most of his NFL career. What I find to be very weird is that Lovie Smith has a press conference where he's basically saying seven or eight times, I'm not answering that question. Where he's like, we're going to figure that out whenever we take the field against Miami. He even said he didn't want to do it because it could be a competitive advantage for Miami, which is a little bit laughable. But if you have a press conference where you're not announcing your starter, and then 15 minutes later, Garoppolo, Mike Garoppolo, has the news, if I'm Lovie Smith, I'm pretty annoyed by that.
I mean, there's a mole somewhere, right? I mean, this is and this just happened recently, too. When Golden State had the fight between Draymond Green and Poole.
Yeah.
And someone inside the Warriors traveling party sold it to TMZ. And that was a big issue. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about. This is like the Jets doing the same thing. Like I said, the Zach Wilson news wasn't announced to the media. It was in a team meeting. And 15 minutes later or less, ESPN was breaking in with it on Stephen A. Smith's show. So that is a problem, because the one thing you always do is it's kind of like the from mafia circles, but it stays within the family.
Right.
In my years, like we were talking about, the Thanksgivings with Rudy T and all the guys on the road, the one thing I always remember was, like, I remember one year, Warrell and I, again, Indiana, and it was right around Thanksgiving. We were on the road, and a couple guys decided that they were going to be a little late for the bus, and we were supposed to have practice. And Rudy goes, everybody get your asses in the locker room. And so Warrell and I were like, oh, okay. So we were, like, kind of just walking around by the court, and Rudy said, no, you guys get in here too. And we were like, no, coach. He goes, no, you're part of the family. Let's go. Let's get in here. And then he ripped into a few guys and said, you know, no one's bigger than anybody, you know, and explained the whole thing. We're walking out, and he goes, I want you guys in on this, because you guys realize that you're part of the family, but you know what stays in the family and what you can go out with, and if there's ever a question, you ask me. And we were like, cool, all right, that was kind of neat in a way. But, yeah, I mean, that was – you got a problem if you got someone that's leaking information to the media.
Yeah, and also I think it undermines Lovie. I mean, Lovie literally said minutes before that we're not going to announce. I mean, he said that there's a starter. The last starter was Davis Mills. If there's anything that changes, you'll see it on Sunday. And then, I mean, he got hammered. He got peppered by questions, different ways of being asked it. And he's like, look, we're not doing this. We're not going down this route. He got a little bit annoyed with the media again that he was having to continuously answer the Davis Mills questions. And then 15 minutes later, it's out there. If I'm Lovie Smith, I feel undermined. I feel I'm ticked off, to be very honest with you. And look, we don't know where it came from, right? Maybe it was a player. Maybe it was somebody in the front. Like, who knows where it came from? But if I'm Lovie Smith, I'm ticked off about the fact that it got out there.
And it undermines you.
Like, it really does.
But not only where it came from, but then they're going directly to what? Their favorite media member that they have the number for, that they're texting, that they want to give a scoop to?
Mm-hmm.
That just seems odd. Players don't seek out media to try and, unless it's something that they want to get out there. Because, you know, Pat was talking, I was listening on the way in, filling in for Paul, and Creighton was talking about the fact that that there were some quotes out there from King about inside the locker room. And it seemed kind of fractured and things like that. Well, the one time when you know that players are going to seek out the media to do something like this is normally when they've had enough. And it's starting to get a little bit annoying in the locker room and with the coaching staff and around things like that. Because the other thing that it reminds me of is like the conflict between Cully and Caserio when we were joking about the note cards a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, one would go to the podium and say one thing, and then Cully would say one thing, Caserio would come say the exact opposite, and then Cully would have to go backtrack and basically say, oh, that's not what I meant, and I shouldn't have said that. This is in a different way, the same kind of fractured tension that they can create.
Yeah.
Getting stuff out to the media like that.
I'll be honest with you, in terms of like the fractured, like the fracture of a locker room, tension in the locker room, I really don't care about it on a 1-8-1 team. Like that stuff can be fixed by the very next season if you have a quality head coach.
Oh, yeah. By next year.
If the team was good, then you have an issue. Then it has something that could derail you. But the Texans season cannot be derailed. Like, the Texans season's a disaster. Like, there's nothing that could possibly derail it. Could it be worse to go to work? Yeah. But the product and the results can be the same. Now, as far as it goes to, like, benching Davis Mills here, it's basically firing your head coach in the middle of the season. You're getting a head start on who your future franchise quarterback is going to be. Now, the Texans have the number one pick, so it's not like anybody can hold them over the barrel. Like, if they had the fifth pick, now they're, like, not in a position of leverage, right? Now they have to have either a quarterback that they love drop to them or they have to trade up. So there's no one that can really hurt them in terms of leverage because they have the number one overall pick. Benching Davis Mills, though, not that we didn't already know this, it symbolizes that Davis Mills' future as the Houston Texans starting quarterback is officially over.
Yeah.
If you're benching Davis Mills for Kyle Allen, you can go ahead and kiss that thought goodbye. Because there is a small pocket of people that are like, oh, don't draft a quarterback in 2023. Wait for Caleb Williams. Which is like, you're going to be planning on a quarterback in 2024. That's silly.
That's a crapshoot, too, to make everything's got to fall into place for that to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, again. So, like, that's something that I don't think is very logical. Now, if you're in a spot where, like, Caleb Williams is there and you love Caleb Williams, then you draft Caleb Williams. But you can't be thinking about it November 2022 that the plans are going to be to draft Caleb Williams in 2024. I think that that's kind of silly. So, like, even those small pocket of people that wanted that to happen, Davis Mills would be your starter next year, right? Or you'd have some bridge quarterback,
right.
Kyle Allen, Jimmy Garoppolo, who knows? This signifies that Davis Mills has basically, unless there's an injury, something like that, he is no longer going to be QB1 in this franchise ever again.
Yeah, no, that you're absolutely right. And I think that, again, if you're talking about a guy that is supposed to be the guy, you handle him with kid gloves. So if this was, say, Trevor Lawrence in his first year, the last thing you're going to do, no matter how big a pitfall he falls into in the highs and lows of a season, is going to bench him because you're worried about his psyche. Uh-huh. The same way we talk about how quarterbacks' psyches can be damaged, if, like a David Carr when he was just crushed, so he had PTSD and couldn't take it, and he was a different quarterback. The same thing can happen from a confidence standpoint if you take your quarterback of the future and your number one drafted quarterback, and you suddenly start messing with him mentally and saying, hey, you know, you're going to sit down. You're benched. And then what's even worse is if you bring him back and bench him again. Because now he's looking over his shoulder, and every time he makes a mistake, he's thinking they're going to bench me. But the fact that you bench him when you're trying to build confidence and get a guy comfortable when he's supposed to be the franchise quarterback, that is a complete and utter no normally in professional sports. The fact that you're doing this, I agree with that. I think it's a statement made that Davis Mills is not the guy going forward.
I think it is the wrong decision because I would have just rolled with Davis Mills. I would want to collect more information about who Davis Mills is over the next 7 games, not to see if he can be the starter, but to see if you can roster him next year, to see if he can be the backup quarterback for your team next year. We spent a lot of time talking about this yesterday. So I don't agree with it, but it's also not going to move the needle. Like, it's a little bit more than a nothing burger, but it's not quite a nothing burger. It's a very small thing. And as it impacts, like, my viewing on Sunday, there are some things that come out of this that, like, not that it's going to make the viewing exciting about the Texans, but you're going to look at it from a different perspective. One, I want to see what Kyle Allen looks like in a Texans uniform because he is a former Houston Cougar. And then the one answer that we got a lot yesterday was to see if Pep Hamilton is any good as an offensive coordinator. If Kyle Allen all of a sudden has this offense looking really, really good, then you have this understanding that maybe it wasn't all Pep Hamilton. Now, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Pep Hamilton's resume in the NFL tells you that he's probably a pretty mediocre offensive coordinator and play caller. But it could give you some, like, I wanted information on Davis Mills the next 7 games. Maybe it gives you information on Pep Hamilton for the next 7 games.
A couple things. Maybe we were looking at the wrong guy overall if he does play halfway decent in the fact that you can get a cheap backup in Kyle Allen, and he can be your backup next year that could be, you know, a fill-in bridge starter depending on if the kid's ready to play or not. And Kyle Allen, as we talked about yesterday, in terms of building your resume and how many players on this roster are looking for opportunities as bad as they know the team was going to be, to try and have some longevity in the NFL and show they can play. If Kyle Allen shows he can play, and he's had spurts, albeit small sample, small windows, where he's played decently in the NFL, to where if he feels comfortable and he plays halfway decent, well, at least they know, hey, because in a, from the Davis Mills perspective, it's always the old adage about, like, if you're on a team and you realize that the team doesn't pick up your option, like, you'll settle for less money with any other team in the league in a lot of, but you'll never settle for less money with the same team because that loyalty trust thing is breached, and you see players do it all the time. Like, if you don't pick up their option, but then you say, hey, but I'd like to resign you at a lower number, most times the guy's like, yeah, no, bye. I'm going somewhere else where they appreciate me more. And then most times they sign for less, but they get a fresh start. I think Davis Mills and his agent right now basically are probably going to start thinking about, if they know they're not the guy, they don't want to be the backup here next year. They want to see if there's another team out there that might give him the same opportunity he had in Houston.
Ooh, I don't know if that's going to be happening.
I think there's a lot of bottom of the totem pole teams, maybe some guys that are hoping for Caleb Williams that could embrace the suck themselves and bring in Davis Mills.
Look, I think it's logical and probable that his agent and he will sure. do that, like seek that avenue, seek that out, see if there's anything there. I just can't imagine Davis Mills starting for an NFL team next year. And as far as the Kyle Allen perspective, mm-hmm. he's not under contract next year. So he's also auditioning to the rest of the NFL. Well,
that's what I mean. Like we said with everybody else, they're auditioning for a job next year. But he might be auditioning for a job with the same team he's playing for, and they might just say, hey, look, we're going to end up getting rid of Davis Mills, or he doesn't want to be here. If you want to be our backup, we'll, you know, make you an offer.
What do you realistically want to see from Kyle Allen on Sunday? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. BZ Money. We make you money all the time on BZ Money. Well, at least recently we have. We won $30 last week. Our number in our bankroll of Mr. Gal's money is growing and growing. BZ Money, since we're not going to be on tomorrow and Friday, we're going to make you money next. Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. If you're making money, that's going to bring you happiness. Something else that'll bring your life happiness is Gentle Ben. Whether it's the vodka, whether it's the gin, whether it's the bourbon, they will all make you very happy. Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anyone else. Innovative Persado craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand. You're going to taste that huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. Also, be on the lookout for the bourbon. The double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards is now on the market. 10 different Specs locations around Houston. The Specs in Galveston, Pearland Fine Wine, Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton, Potter's Liquor in Friendswood, Reserve Liquor in League City. Get your hands on the bourbon, double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Sit back with good company, maybe on Thanksgiving, and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
I don't know what the guy's talking about. We're on a roll. Killer yeah. Bees are on a heater, baby. Kinda. I think we've won 3 of the last 4 weeks. The 1 week we didn't win, I wasn't here. So, like, we're on a heater.
That's true. Oh, that's right.
It is true. So Killer Bees have been making you some money with BZ Money. Mr. Gow's bankroll, it's taken a hit, but it's climbing. This is the highest bankroll we've had since week 3 of the NFL
week
season. $815. We won $30 last week in BZ Money with BMAC filling in for Brendan. We should see what BMAC is up to.
I do want to know, our best week ever was plus 55 when you were out.
Yeah, don't let the devil be in the detail. Do you want to start us off here, Blankers?
Sure. The first one to me just seems to be a statement game in the making. I look at the Patriots at the Vikings. The Patriots won a barn burner on a returned punt return from
who did that?
Your man is
Marcus
Jones.
Go Cougs. Yep. That's right.
The Patriots offense is putrid. The Patriots defense is okay. The Vikings got absolutely taken to the woodshed by the Cowboys. They are going to look to make a statement because everybody is crapping on the Vikings, going, maybe they aren't a contender in the NFC. Maybe they're not very good. They are going to look to make a statement. The Patriots don't have enough to stay in the game. The Vikings at home only given 2.5. I like the Vikings.
Minnesota kept me from a individual 17 parlay last week. I went 6-1. Minnesota kept me from a 17 parlay because I had Minnesota getting points at home against the Cowboys. I am mad with the Minnesota Vikings. I have Minnesota winning this game, but by 3. The number's 2.5. I don't love playing it individually. I'm not playing it.
But 2.5, it means you can win by a field goal.
I don't
goal
know
and you're
if Minnesota's
good.
Very good. Like, look at the NFC teams
like
playing
everybody
AFC
else.
Teams. Like, look what the Eagles did last week at Indy. Like, we're talking about the Eagles being one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're barely beating a dude who is coached by the worst head coach, some would say,
told
in NFL
you guys,
history.
Reoccurring term.
They did. NFL good.
NFC good.
Good.
The Vikings are NFC good.
I'm scared
I
of
it. I had
NFC
to
teams.
Look at when this game was played, because I was open to it.
Oh.
Joel, this is a primetime Thanksgiving game.
Right, so the Vikings want to make a statement.
Yeah, but they don't do well on primetime games.
That's true. Cousins sucks.
Oh, Cousins is record.
Cousins sucks primetime games.
I think I would be behind this if it was a noon game on Sunday.
I'm kind of neutral.
I'm out.
Wow.
So, Jeremy, you can't be neutral because you're
got to make a choice.
All right, fine.
You're
fine.
The deciding
because
factor.
I want to back up Blinkers. Minnesota for $5. Let's bet at the Vikings for $5 so we have something to sweat whenever we're
I
stuck.
I can get behind $5.
$5
I feel
bucks
like
the
I'm
Vikings.
Almost more insulted by that than passing on the game itself.
This is like when Trump won his...
That was a backhanded compliment from Branham.
This is like when Trump won his bet against the USFL and the judge rewarded him $1 for winning the lawsuit against the USFL.
Trading places with Mortimer and whatever betting a dollar.
All right, here's the first team that I have. Both of my bets this week are with AFC teams. I like the Tennessee Titans to bounce back a little bit. Cincinnati doesn't look like they're going to have Chase for another week. It doesn't look like they're going to have Mixon for another week. This seems to me like a game that the Titans win outright, taking advantage of the Bengals who are going to be a little bit shorthanded. Cincy's kind of been up and down this year. I think, and Cincy's defense kind of meh as well. I think Derrick Henry will run wild on the Bengal defense. They're getting 1.5 points
at home
with a shorthanded Cincinnati. I like the Titans in this one, guys.
I mean, if Cincinnati was at full strength, I would definitely not like this play. But because of all the injuries, because Burrow's been running for his life as it is, and P. Ryan is no Joe Mixon, but he was okay. I watched Tennessee up close and personal, and Tannehill made more throws than I thought he was capable of. But the main thing is that freight train in the backfield is really, really tough to stop. And their defense is pretty good, too. And I think it's insulting at home to be getting 1.5. I'll take Tennessee as well.
Cincinnati barely got out of Pittsburgh last week.
Yeah, they did.
They lost to them earlier in the season, obviously. But I'm not sure Cincinnati's the team that we just like seem to want to think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I like this, too. I think Tennessee probably should be favored in this one.
There you go. So how much are we going to put on
this
one? Because we all like it seems like.
I don't think I'd want to go higher than 40.
I'm good with 40.
Okay.
All right, I'm cool with 40.
All right, $40, Tennessee Titans getting 1.5. That number's actually grown since I put it in the run.
No, I'm even more insulted that $5 freaking bet that Branham was trying to do.
I was on your side of things.
Barely.
Didn't matter by how little
Barely.
Or how big, I was on your side of things. Brandon, what's your game you're trying to sell the Killer Bees?
All right, I am thrilled to see how you guys treat this one because we have bet this team terribly all season.
I know where you're going.
Yeah. The Lions are 9.5 underdogs against the Bills at home. This is expected to be the second largest crowd in Ford Field history.
It's the Bills' home game.
No, it's not. The Lions are on a three-game winning streak.
They just played there as the home team last week.
It doesn't matter.
Did the Lions play at home last week against the Giants?
No. Two of their three wins were road wins.
So the Bills will be playing more games in Detroit than the Lions in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, sure. Okay, how about the last 3 weeks? What are we doing here? No, look. I do think the Lions have figured some things out. I think the Bills are Super Bowl favorites. I don't think 9.5 is enough. The Lions have benefited from teams who fit what they do.
It's a big number.
The Lions don't have a secondary. Stephon Diggs is going to have 400 receiving yards.
But
also,
don't the Lions
can't stop
traditionally
running
like
show up on Thanksgiving?
Screw everybody on Thanksgiving.
Two things happen on Thanksgiving. Either they show up and surprise you, or they get absolutely blasted. They could lose this game by 30, and I wouldn't be surprised.
What jerseys are they wearing?
I don't know.
Why does that matter?
I don't know.
Usually they like to go throwback on Thanksgiving.
I was wondering
I'm not sure.
A solid silver helmet?
It's common. I don't think they will. I'm going. So if it's not clear here, I'm taking Buffalo.
I actually
a big number.
I had Buffalo winning this game by 7. I think Detroit kind of hangs. Like Buffalo, they didn't go home to Buffalo, right? Like they've been on the road.
No, they went home.
Oh, they did go home.
They did go home.
That's actually a swinger for me.
Here are the two cases I'm making. One, the Lions cannot stop the pass against teams who are good at throwing the ball.
Yeah.
They can slow down the run a little bit. Two, they cannot stop running quarterbacks. Justin Fields broke the NFL record for most rushing yards in a game against them by a quarterback. Those are the two things I do not think they can handle.
All right, you talked me into it. You talked me into it. Give me, I had this game right around a 7-10 point game anyways. The number's 9.5. I'm feeling jolly on Thanksgiving. I'm feeling thankful for Brendan, just like I was thankful for you a little
You're
bit
so
earlier
foolish.
With the Minnesota bet. What are you talking about?
How are you feeling,
I sided
Joel?
On you. I sided with your side.
I'm a little leery of this. I think the Lions could cover this. I think the Bills are going to win the game, but I think the Lions, that's a big
we
number.
We keep it cheap. $20?
$20, $25?
That's fine.
All right.
Let's go $20.
$20. $20 on, and plus we want Thanksgiving sweats. Like, what are we going to be doing? We're going to have the turkey sweats. We want the NFL sweats on Thanksgiving. All right, what's your second game that you're selling us, Blankers?
So, to me, I looked at Baltimore, which I think is a sleeper in the AFC. Baltimore's getting better. They got Andrews back. And Jacksonville has just been from hot and cold to just not very impressive. And Jacksonville getting 4 points at home I don't think is nearly enough. I think Lamar Jackson with getting weapons back and their defense adding guys. Jason Pierre-Paul is playing like a young, like his primetime self. I like the Ravens to blow the doors off the Jags, and I think that 4 points is not nearly anything to scare me.
Baltimore also hasn't been playing that well. I feel like they're looking at this as kind of like a get-right game. We're like, okay, we need to get right. That way we can get right for the stretch drive. I'm glad you had this one because this was one of the three games that I liked the most and didn't pick this one. I'm on your side of this. I like the Ravens to cover the number.
I do too.
I would personally stay away from this one. If I had to pick a side, I'd pick Baltimore, so I'm not that upset about it. Baltimore they've looked at like two different teams at times. They've looked very good at times. Honestly, both of these teams have. I don't know what I'm getting out of either of these teams in any given game.
Jacksonville's been pretty much bad.
Jacksonville's peak was 14-0 first half against the Eagles, and they lost that game. Yeah. But
still
from a Baltimore
against the Eagles.
I think it's like when he gets his security blanket back and Lamar Jackson by getting Andrews back, he found Andrews whenever Andrews is open, he finds Andrews, and I think that could just that alone could be enough to beat the Jags. But I think they'll win by a touchdown.
$30 here? $30 on Baltimore? Well, you're outnumbered, you, Brendan.
I can live with it.
That's fine.
I'm not going to fight you guys over it.
$30 on Baltimore. All right, the second game that I'm going to sell you guys is Houston at Miami. The Texans have change. The Texans have somebody new at the helm. The Texans are going to ride Kyle Allen to lose more than 13 points against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are going to blow out the Houston Texans. I don't care who's at quarterback. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle will run wild on the Houston Texans secondary. That's probably not going to have Derek Stingley. The running game's very good, too. They're going to have no chance to stop that Miami Dolphin defense. It's a huge number at 13. Dolphins roll.
I hate the number.
I refuse to lay 13 points in the NFL in any matchup.
All right. Well, you guys are losers because you're going to see on Sunday when the Dolphins win by 20.
Big and so adamant with you guys that betting against the Texans the last couple of weeks would have made us a ton, but those were my picks, and I stood by them. I think 13 is too much.
My only hesitance is that we've multiple times this year lost out on money by not following Jeremy specifically on the Texans, but I hate laying 13 on any game.
I'm outnumbered here. When we come in Monday, fat and happy, I'm going to be a little unhappy because the Dolphins are going to blow out the Kyle Allen Houston Texans.
So are we officially...
It sounds like we're out on it.
Are you out? You're out.
We're out on it. All right, Brendan, what you got?
All right. This one confuses me a little bit. I know Vegas won last week, but it took overtime. The Raiders are not good. I do believe that the Seahawks, they're NFC good, but I believe the Seahawks are more than 3.5 points at home better than the Raiders. I feel very comfortable this one. This was my favorite game on the slate.
Of the five games that I bet individually, Seattle minus 3.5 is one of them. I agree. I feel like it's a small number here. The Raiders have not been good.
They're at home.
I feel like they're being inflated because of, like, they're the Raiders and maybe they have popular names. They've been lousy all year.
I think there has been a sentiment all season that the Raiders were going to figure it out.
Exactly.
I don't think last week was them figuring it out. They escaped.
I agree. I think the Raiders stink. I think they're one of the worst football teams in the NFL. I think Josh McDaniels is one of the worst coaches in the NFL. So I'm good with this.
See, I was hesitant because I thought the Raiders were looking to make a statement, but if they were going to make a statement, now that you guys brought that up, they would have made it right after the tearful Carr speech and the fingers pointed at McDaniel and needing Davis to back him up. So maybe Vegas is just that bad. So whatever you guys want to do, I can ride with Seattle.
How much you want to put on this, Brendan?
35.
Okay, let's do it. I'm good with 35. So we got the Vikings minus two and a half for $5. Titans plus +1.5 for $40. Buffalo minus -9.5 for $20. Ravens minus -4 for $30. And Raiders minus -3.5.
I would have gone way bigger on the Vikings against you guys. So there's something that I got to bitch about.
All right. We'll see how it happens. Killer Bees, Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year. I've been dying to ask him two questions. One, what the Texans are doing with this quarterback position now. And remember, Randy Mueller doesn't like small quarterbacks. I want to ask him about Bryce Young. Randy Mueller with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.